Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
Doing well.
Good.
Doing well.
Good.
So this solved another problem.
We got good news today, though.
Yeah.
We should be happy.
We're going to start off with the good news, and maybe we can continue it all along. But then I can think of other things that it's not so good.
No, you can't say that.
So we have a few problems, but that's the way the world's been put together. We're to deal with problems and not suffer from them if we can possibly avoid it. Now, this is a story from, I believe it's North Carolina.
Yeah.
Waynesville. Must be.
We love it.
I lived in North Carolina for 4 years in medical school, and I've traveled there, and my brother lives there, but I've never heard of Waynesville. Sorry, folks, but we're going to put you on
the
map today.
Yeah,
we're
going to
put
people.
You on the map today because we think Waynesville is made up of a lot of good people.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you noticed it. We're going to report on people resisting,
yeah.
You know, the mob that runs the country, and they pushing all this lockdown and masks. But the picture that we saw, I don't know whether you're going to put it up or not.
Yeah, we think we can actually put it up.
A lot of young people.
Yeah.
That's what I don't know. Yeah, we're there, a lot of have some others. But it's a young idea, Liberty. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think you can see there's a lot of young people there. And there's a lot more people at this, city meeting,
council
meeting. Because they couldn't get inside, they're outside, and I think they were allowing 20 people. We see more than 20. So the story is, the way I hear it, they had announced that, casually it was that come, we're having a meeting, a final hearing, because we're going to write new laws wearing masks, and they weren't backing off.
Yeah.
And boy, for people in politics and elected by the people, boy, did they misjudge. So, yes, they had a lot of people there, but they weren't there to cheer on the city council.
Yeah.
They were there to say, hey, wait. And they were strong and they were principled, and meetings usually go on for an hour or two, and there's an opportunity for the citizens to stand out. But before you knew it, the county attorney showed up, the city attorney, and before you knew it, the meeting was closed down. It's over, folks.
Yeah.
But the rules say we get to speak. Well, you know, it just didn't work out that way. But they heard about making the mask rules more intense. They didn't like it, and they came, and they were unified, and they spoke their stated their piece. But it'll be interesting. We haven't heard the results from today or what's going to happen. But I would think if those city council people don't listen, you know what they ought to do, what these people ought to do. Look, there's no reason why they're doing that, especially if they had any, minimal knowledge about the ridiculous extent to where they're going with this lockdown, mask, and distancing and all that. If it were saving lives instead of killing more people, it'd be a different story. So the good news is, people spoke out, and they got attention, and the final results remain to be seen. But the lesson here is hopefully some other little town, maybe our own little town, they're stirring here in Lake Jackson, and they're waking up to the fact that maybe people do have clouds. And, of course, that's our theory. You know, you have to have people believing in an idea, and then you have to have people expressing that idea and defending it. And it's the method of persuasion and having an argument rather than saying, well, we're going to march in and take over, you know, the authoritarian way. And in this case, people in the government were the authoritarians. The people who arrived there to protest, they were the heroes.
And we're talking about this to give people hope and give people guidance, because they announced we're having this hearing. We're going to do mandatory mask mandate on the city because people aren't listening to our voluntary mask mandate. And they were shocked. More than 100 people showed up. And I think that's also a good news story, because 100 people is not a lot of people. I'm sure it's probably not a big town, but it doesn't take that many people. That's what you've always said. It doesn't take, 50% of the town plus one. 100 people showed up, and they wanted to speak, and they had a right to speak according to the city bylaws. So they continued to move and try to get in. The people were chanting, bring it outside, because there was not enough room for them because they did the stupid social distancing. And the other interesting thing is that people were told, you can't come in here and participate in the meeting if you don't have a mask. And a couple people claimed exemptions, religious and medical, but the majority of them said simply, no, we're not going to do it. We have a right to speak according to the city laws, and we're going to come in and speak, and you can't force us to wear a mask. So the city backed down, and they said, oh, here's some masks if you want them, but you can come in. And that happened. So they even called the police in to disperse the crowd that couldn't make it into the room. That didn't work. And that's when the town attorney showed up, and he tried to ban them from chanting, because every time someone came to the microphone and gave a great speech about why we don't want a mask, everyone outside was cheering,
goodness.
Said, you are banned from cheering. And
they are radicals.
Yeah.
They
said, try it. And so he finally had to shut the door. So they did cut it off without allowing everyone to speak. But at the end of the day, at least at this point, and as you say, they can do any kind of sneaky stuff behind the scenes. But as of right now, 100 people showed up and said, we don't want this. And the city had to back down. And that is a great guidance.
And they use an argument that is frequently used, the fire code.
Yeah.
And you don't want to ridicule all fire codes, but that wasn't the real reason.
Yeah.
They didn't want these people to be heard.
Yeah.
Because it looked like the council was unanimous, you know, and there wasn't one up there, and I'm with you guys. That wasn't the case. But there was another thing that caught my attention. It's in a way sort of funny. They must have sensed pretty early on, like, what's going on here? They're like, where are these cars coming? And where are these people come from? Because usually they have probably nobody show up.
Yeah.
And it says here, the 5 town board members had arrived through a back door of the town hall and were being held in a private room until the meeting began. Guess who was under lock and key?
Yeah,
they
yeah.
had, but... They were doing it on their own. They were ashamed.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really what they should be. They should be ashamed that they're supposed to represent these people.
Yeah.
Where were they? You know, it'd be nice for us to keep tab of this and find out what happens at the next election in that town.
And these are the people who pay their salaries, you know, or
whatever
they get. But, you know, you alluded to it in your opening, but there is a kind of a similar story closer to home. And, you know, I've mentioned on the show before that there's a group that I occasionally go out and protest with on Saturday against the lockdowns and the mask mandates and the shutdown mentality. But they have done the same thing, and just like probably Waynesville. They've educated themselves on the city charter, on the city laws, and on the rules of engagement. And they have showed up to several city council meetings about the mask issue because, as you remember, back in July, our city leaders issued a mask mandate. But if you read the fine print, it wasn't. So what they did is they showed up in a very similar way, and they had their phones, and they were recording it, and they got several city council members to admit on tape, well, it's not really a mandate, actually. What the mayor did was say you need to put a sign up on your window telling people to wear masks. And another city council member said, look, if you don't want to wear a mask, don't wear a mask. Look at all of you. You're here, and you don't have a mask on. So on one hand, it's encouraging because they knew their rights and they knew the rules. On the other hand, it exposes the deception that is involved because they wanted it to sound like a mask mandate. And if you go to any business around here, they'll have that sign up because they were forced to do it by the authorities. But they can't physically, the city cannot force you to wear a mask. And that is good news here. And so I also applaud Waynesville, but I also applaud the Brazoria County Liberty Group here in Lake Jackson.
They need encouragement. You know, I have another article here that is significant because the statistics are really tough. You know, immediately when you see a statistic which supports the status quo, you know, more lockdown, more mask and all this, and it's going to last for 3 years and on, you have to question it. You have to question it. Whom are they talking about? Have they fudged it? Are they using which definitions on cases and the whole works? So this one article sounds like, well, this is sort of interesting. The flu deaths are down 2/3. Well, wouldn't that be good? Wonderful. Flu deaths are, but how did it happen? CDC admits the hospitals have a monetary incentive to call it COVID.
Yeah.
No joke. And so all of a sudden, you know, they shift around. But there's probably more to it than just that. There's probably the misdiagnosis for colds and pneumonia and tuberculosis. But boy, the cases for COVID are very, very high. This epidemic is really outrageous. Until we show the charts that you have kept tabs on, where it shows, you know what, things look pretty good. Yeah. You know, there was something going on there, and a lot of people were sick, and they did call the doctor, but it was a spike, and it looked like, some type of a natural thing going on. An infection came to town, but it looks like the natural immunity started to build, and all of a sudden, you know, the really serious complications just haven't existed, and yet even the figures that they have now, and it's probably back when it was very severe. You know, that is when people were encouraged, you know, even when they looked like charged, well, maybe this was all natural and there was something really going on. But it was a shift. It was a shift in the statistics and the reporting. So it just adds more fuel to the fire that more Americans are getting disgusted and are less relying on government dictates and mandates and what the government tells us, because more and more people just don't trust the government.
Yeah, which is a good thing. And we talked about the flu disappearing this year, and we are seeing some upticks in deaths, in so-called COVID deaths right now. I wouldn't call it a spike, because if you look at April and you look at now, it's a slight increase, and some of it has to do with seasonal. But you have to wonder if these seasonal things aren't the flu, because you pointed out very well the other day how the CDC itself is not a conspiracy website. It's the CDC's website. Their criteria for presumptive COVID cases and deaths is pretty wide open. And it doesn't need a necessarily laboratory. But let's skip over one and go to the next clip, if you can. This is something back from April. This is a medical doctor and Minnesota State Senator, Scott Jensen. And he blew the whistle on this and was furious about, you know, after the CARES Act was passed, the CDC provided incentives through Medicare to call everything COVID. And that's why you got such huge COVID spikes. And interestingly enough, the One America Network put out a report earlier this week. And it showed, it's based on the CDC's own latest report on COVID deaths. It's not, you know, a conspiracy. Again, it's CDC numbers on comorbidities. They reported and they showed it and they highlighted it. Possibly up to 50,000 heart attacks have been listed as COVID deaths, because the heart attack was considered not necessarily the cause of death because they tested for COVID. And also, according to the CDC's own website, and this is amazing, 10,000 COVID deaths were from people who were already in hospice care. And you know, you go to hospice, it's a terrible thing. It's for people that are in the final stages of a terminal illness. Generally, you only spend a couple of days there before you pass on, but they were counted as COVID deaths, 10,000 that they know of, according to the CDC. So we know that the numbers, this is not to diminish the deaths in any way, but we know that these numbers are being manipulated for political reasons, we assume.
You know, third-party payments aren't a good idea. And that's what we have. Even when third-party payments were started with insurance company, which could be voluntary and market-oriented, and a market development of medical insurance would be different than what we have now, because we don't have insurance. We have prepayment and guarantees and the government involved. But the whole thing is when the incentive is there, human nature stuff, just expect it. You know, oh, well, yeah, the test is positive. Oh, yeah, you don't, and like I reported yesterday, you really don't have to test. They don't even require it. It's a subjective definition, you know, and doctors, you know, say, do they have how many symptoms? And then they can put that down. The temptation is too great, but there's also the pressure put on them. They're be put on, you know, by hospital authorities and the people who are getting the reimbursement. When things are more private, you know, with a transaction, I've always argued the case that when the doctor faces the patient, talks to the patient face-to-face and takes care of them, and there's a relationship there, it so often develops that the doctor, you know, adjusts the payment, and usually it's the it's usually the lowest thing possible. When a third party comes in, especially if it's government, you put the highest charge on it because it's out there. It's not personal. It's a laboratory. It's a hospital. It's an insurance company. It just goes out of control, and then you have the inflationary factors in, and all of a sudden there's runaway costs, and then, of course, shortages come up, and then who suffers? The middle class, which all this miraculous thing was supposed to help. So this is problems like this with COVID is certainly makes it much worse. But it's that's just another step separating the doctor and the patient. And I think that we should not blindly defend anything that is government, because to people now, still the majority of the American people will say, well, the government can take care of it. Like, they have the money and they can take care of it, and I have a right to it. You know, one of the worst things, positions I've taken, according to some of the reaction, is that you don't have a right to medical care. You don't have a right to food. Yeah. You don't have a right to somebody else's property. And lo and behold, when that is not a right, then you don't have to have the government become a thief. Yeah. Because if you have a right to somebody else's property, somebody has to steal it. Oh, well, I would never steal. But congressmen, they're pretty good at it. Yeah. So we'll get them to do the stealing and give us what we need. So people say glibly, oh, yeah, the government should pay for this. The government will take care of it. And then you end up with a very imperfect system.
And you also get a lot of propaganda. I was reading an article the other day where they were quoting, showing all these quotes from different presidents saying, don't consider the government as something separate from you. We are all the government. You know, yeah. They want to do that because they want to get away from being blamed for stealing. But I think you had something from Bill Sardi that you wanted to bring up.
Yeah, he is somebody I read just about every day. Yeah, writes on Lou Rockwell's site, and he says, "Is infectious disease just a shell game?" Well, why does he write a whole article? The answer is yes. No, but he writes seriously, and he did this again today. But it's a follow-up on what we were saying. You know, some things go down and other things go up. Well, there's an economic benefit to having more COVID deaths and COVID illnesses, so that's going to go up. But total deaths have not gone up. Matter of fact, I think in the report yesterday, we showed some places where total deaths were actually going down. I think that was one in Switzerland or Sweden. The total deaths are going down, but COVID, you know, you have to prove that that is the monster out there. But they have seen, Sardi reports, it was that the flu was down 98%.
98%. That was the Daily Mail reported that, yeah.
Right. And then there's like magic out of thin air. But the lung cancer is down. Hmm. Now, isn't that strange? In a way, you wished, well, a mild case of COVID and there will be less cancer. Boy, that's not a bad trade-off.
Yeah.
But that's not true. It's just the way they report. But that seems like a shame. But it also, this whole lockdown has interfered with treatment. People getting their X-rays and their cancer treatment. So technically speaking, if you look at what's happened with the lockdown, I'll bet the care and the ability to help people with cancer has probably gotten worse rather than a bit to argue, oh, the virus is a miracle drug, a miracle infection, and therefore lung cancer is way down. But the other thing he does in this article, which I've paid a lot more attention to this past year than I ever did in my medical career, is the importance of zinc. Mm-hmm. And he talks about zinc as a very good thing for prevention of illness and also treatment. And I think people should be paying a lot of attention to that and decide whether or not they think they need some.
Yeah, you know, I still don't know anyone who's had COVID and gone through it personally, but I do know someone who has cancer and is not getting the cancer treatment because they're afraid. They bought into the whole fear thing and they're not going to get their treatment. So I would imagine that is probably why cancer is down, because people who are terrified of this are cowering in their rooms. But one thing I think is true, Dr. Paul, and I do think one way or the other, after the election that's coming up in a little over a week, COVID eventually will disappear very quickly, regardless of who's president. And I think certainly Trump has conditioned us to think that we're basically getting over this. And we see the recent spikes in cases and things, I think, has a political tinge to it. But I also think despite, and this is not a plug for Biden by any stretch, but I think also Biden, who's running on a lockdown and pro-mask policy, I think eventually maybe he'll do a symbolic, and I could be wrong, a symbolic several-month mask mandate or something, but he's also going to have to show that these things work. He's going to have to show progress. And he even put out an ad not long ago where it was sort of the theme was, don't you want to go out to the restaurant again with your people? Don't you want to have parties again and everything? We got to get over this together. We'll build back better and everything. So he's also going to have to show that his policies, these lockdown policies, are creating progress. So I think because this thing has been so politicized, politics are going to force both of these candidates, no matter who's elected, to back off on the COVID for a while.
You can see why this whole effort on lockdown is an attack on culture, but it's very specific when it comes to discrimination against churches.
Yeah.
You don't go to church, and that is something that is very real, and the people that are locked down are the ones who can't communicate. So now they're specializing, making it more specific, Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Dangerous Thanksgiving. Christmas, you're going to get together.
How dare
your
you.
Relatives are coming from out of town, and it goes on and on. So that really is being very specific, that the attack on culture is not just an unfortunate complication of taking care of this virus. So, and they just, think that's part of it. And of course, the thing that has aggravated us so far in this program is when people don't resist. And they say, I don't think I want to go to church, but I don't want any people coming in here without a mask on, sort of thing. And it's a pretense that the government is going to protect us and take care of our spiritual life as well.
Yeah. And I wrote a bit about this on my Facebook page yesterday, but I was in Aldi getting some stuff for dinner, and I, of course, didn't wear a mask. And as I came out, I saw a happy-looking guy coming in without a mask on. I said, oh, that's great, because not a lot of people there are in without a mask. And then I was putting my car, you got to get your quarter back out of it. And when I was walking back to my car, here's the same guy in his car rummaging around the back seat, pulls out this nasty, dirty mask. And I said, man, you don't need that. Come on. And he said, and he looked over and he's kind of put his head down. Well, the sign is still up. And then he turned and walked in. It was so sad, saw me walk out without it. But anyway, I want to close on this, Dr. Paul, if you're done.
Right.
Because you set me up, and I'm glad you didn't steal my thunder, because you talked about Thanksgiving, and I want to look at this next link. We've talked about it before, but we got to put it up again. We should put it up every day to ridicule the ridiculous governor of California. Mandatory California Christmas and Thanksgiving gathering guidelines. Mandatory. No more than 3 households, including your own, may gather. The host of the gathering must collect all names and addresses of those attending. All gatherings must be held outside. That's going to be tough. You can go to the bathroom inside, okay, if the bathroom is frequently sanitized. I won't read the whole thing. All food must be served in single-serve disposable dishes. You must wear a mask at all times unless you are eating. You can only gather for 2 hours maximum. Singing is discouraged, but if you must sing, you must wear a mask and sing below a standard speaking voice. This reminds me of the crazy Woody Allen movie in the 70s, Banana, where he takes over a banana republic and issues these ridiculous, absurd, absurd orders. It's just, Newsom should be laughed at every single day. My final thing is the last couple of days for Dr. Paul's book, we've had a tremendous response. I deeply apologize to those who have had a delay in receiving their books. If we can put up that last clip. But thank you so much for supporting this show and for the Ron Paul Institute. For your donation of $50, we will give you a copy of this book as a gift, as a way of saying thank you. We sound like public radio, but but for $100, Dr. Paul will personally sign it. Again, apologies to those who have experienced a delay, but we are working on it. We're doubling down, and we'll get those out as soon as possible. Ends at the end of October, so please do it if you want to.
Very good. And Daniel, when you were mentioning about the governor from California, the absurdity just is unbelievable. And I kept thinking as you were speaking, do you think this governor really believes this? Is he into this and he believes he's right on this? That is so incomprehensible, but they say it with such sincerity that they do. But I think this would be my interpretation. They probably don't really believe it, but they believe it's necessary they do this because this is a small price to pay if you are establishing a society that they're anxious to have, and that society is opposite to a free society. But they are supporting authoritarianism, so the principle is authoritarianism, and they support that, and they will look like jerks, and they will pretend, and they'll get more people to do it, and he is an authoritarian, but we need more people resisting, especially when they figure this up, what they're up to. It's deadly, and it is an effort to undermine the principles of liberty that we used to know about, we used to talk about, still alive, and more people are talking about it, but boy, we need some field workers out there, spreading this message, because that is it. It's a contest between the authoritarians who can make themselves blind to it, and they brainwash themselves and cancel out the whole thought. People aren't capable of voluntarily taking care of themselves and getting along with people. That is a society that is impossible. Yet all the evidence of all of history shows the freer the society, the more prosperous and the happier the society is. And then people get greedy and they delight in power. So it isn't a large majority to say, well, let's have a war or let's do this or let's do that. What they do is you have the elitists who are a little bit more aggressive than the people who would like to do things voluntarily, and the people are, less anxious to fight over all this, and then the people who love aggression and they like authoritarianism, they got the edge, and that's what they're doing, and they have it. But boy, let's just hope that they can't continue to use the lies they tell about either the wars overseas or wars against the American people here at home, or else, our conditions are going to get much worse. And right now, we're facing the financial and the complications of our loss of liberty right now like we've never faced before. So it is up to us, and it's up to, once again, the people willing to stand up and stand up for some principles. And we don't have to wait till all of a sudden, we got 51%. Now we don't. We just need some leaders to step forward. And believe me, the authoritarians, if they are confronted with the truth, they're a bunch of wimps. They will back down. But they have to hear the truth, and they have to hear it coming from the people. So I encourage you to hang in there and keep the fight going and knowing how to define what a free society is all about. And to close, I want to thank all of you who have been supportive of our efforts here, because we can't do it without your efforts. I know I said you don't have large crowds, but Daniel and I can't do it all by ourselves, but we're getting more and more supporters, and that's why we're delighted to visit with you on a regular basis. And please come back soon to the Liberty Report.